Thank you, Angela, and welcome to our annual special broadcast on KLCC celebrating the opening of the Oregon Bach Festival, which runs this year from June 29th through July 15th. I'm Eric Allen, KLCC Arts, Music and Culture host, and back with me this year as co-host is Janelle McCoy, Executive Director of the Oregon Bach Festival, and we're honored to have two renowned performers here tonight with us in the Selco Performance Hall, including lutenist Simon Martin-Ellis and tenor Charles Daniels. Welcome, everyone, including our studio audience. Well, we are indeed fortunate. And this festival, Janelle, has the theme of legends and legacy. So how does this festival extend the legends and legacies of the music in the festival itself?
Sure. So I think that throughout the festival program, you'll see context or in content such as Hercules, which is a Greek myth, Venus and Adonis, as well as the Saint Matthew, based on the Saint Matthew chapters or book of the Bible. And so we have the protecting veil, which is also based on a story of an apparition that appeared. So there's all throughout. You'll see a common thread of these legends and legacies.
And performing as the evangelist in Bach's Passions is Charles Daniels, who is one of the world's foremost tenors with an incredibly broad repertoire that seems to span over 1,100 years and 90 diverse recordings to his credit, and that mastery of the evangelist role, which he'll be performing. And Simon Martin-Ellis on the lute, as well as a fine theorbo player, baroque guitar player, and many other skills and talents bring into the festival, returning to our studios for the first time since 2014. So they are here tonight to bring us a program that focuses primarily on English composers who lived in the 1500s and 1600s. So Charles and Simon, will you introduce us to the music that you'll be then launching into?
Yes, our first group, we start off with a song by Thomas Campion, who was a physician as well as a poet as well as a musician. So he wrote his own lyrics. This is Fire, Fire, and the fire is going on in the heart of the poet. He's in fiery love. After that, another song by Campion, So Sweet is Thy Discourse to Me. Basically, all the good that he sees in the world is in his lover. And then we move to the most famous of the English lute song composers, John Dowland. Time stands still with gazing on her face. One more lute song, Thomas Morley's Tircis and Miller. And then we have a lovely lute piece that Simon will play, John Dowland's Forlorn Hope Fancy.
Fire, 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 oh, here I born in such desire that all the tears that I can strain out of mine idle, empty brain cannot allay my scorching pain. Contrend and Humber and Fair Thames, dread ocean, haste with all thy streams. And if you cannot quench my fire, oh, drown both me, oh, drown both me and my desire. Oh, drown both me, oh, drown both me and my desire. Fire, 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 there is no hell, no hell to my desire. See all the rivers backward fly, and the ocean of his waves deny, for fear my heat should drink them dry. Come, heavenly showers, then pouring down, come, you that once the world did drown. Some then you spare, but now save all that else most burn, that else most burn, and with me fall, that else most burn, that else most burn, and with me fall. So sweet, so sweet is thy discourse to me, and so delightful is bless thy sight, as I taste nothing right but thee. Oh, why invented nature light? Was it alone for beauty's sake that her graced lords might better take? Oh, why invented nature light? Was it alone for beauty's sake that her graced lords might better take? No more, no more can I old joys recall. They now to me become unknown, not seeming to have been at all. Alas, how soon is this love grown to such a spreading height in me, as with it almost shadowed be. Alas, how soon is this love grown to such a spreading height in me, as with it almost shadowed. Time stands still with gazing on her face. Stand still and gaze for minutes, hours and years to her. vows and spotless faith, no fortune can remove. Courage shall show in war faith, and faith shall thrive. Garden walking. Where on the way, where on the way, they wanton riddles talking. The youthful boy kissing her cheeks all rosy. Thank you.
Simon Martinellis on lute and Charles Daniels on voice here in a beautiful set of music from England in the 15 and 1600s. Thomas Campion, John Dowland, and Thomas Morley, all represented in that set of music here in KLCC's Selco Performance Hall. I'm Eric Allen, which Janelle McCoy is my co-host, celebrating the opening of the 2017 Oregon Bach Festival. Well, Campion, Dowland, and Morley were all contemporaries, essentially, and you've woven their music together. Why did their music fit together for you, and what are their differences as composers?
Well, there was a great flowering of lute song composition in this era. John Dowland is the most famous exponent, and indeed it would be very easy to make a recital entirely out of John Dowland's songs. But I'm fond of all these other guys as well, and they all contribute different music, but within a style which seems very compatible to me. Let's take another example. I already mentioned Thomas Campion, but Thomas Morley, he had a printing monopoly as well as his expertise in composition. His song book has rather an interesting history. There were one and roughly two-thirds copies in the whole world, and alas, the one whole one perished in a library fire in the 19th century. So the only larger part left ended up in the Folger Shakespeare Library as it became, and it wasn't until it had got there that Dr. Fellows, the famous English reverend and musicologist, was able to get hold of it and transcribe it for modern people. And the sheer quality of music in that songbook, I would have said, is the equal of Dowland. So that's another good one. We have later, we have a really obscure figure, William Corkin, an Irishman, we think. All we know about him is that he flourished in London for something like a decade in between 1610, 1617 or thereabouts. We have Alfonso Ferrabosco the Younger, son of an immigrant, very musical family, the Ferraboscos. His lute songs are also beautiful and utterly neglected. For instance, you can't buy that lute song book again. It's all disappeared, and I don't think it's on the, very easily there on the net, though actually Simon has his way of finding it. He has magic lute song sources, so if I'm ever in need, I shall know where to go. So these are figures who are in danger of passing into history but wrote lovely music, and I think it's nice to weave more than one composer into this sort of thing.
How do you go about finding, Simon, the music and interpreting music that was never recorded in the original times?
Well, that's the greatest thing, is that we actually get to make it up as we go along a bit. Finding it is usually a bit of chance. You do. There are people that have remarkable access to public libraries, but also private libraries throughout Europe. It's remarkable how much music is still being found, indeed, in dusty drawers and cupboards and wardrobes around Europe. And there's also vast collections which just haven't been catalogued yet. So there are people that do that. I'm not one. I have enough time. I have enough trouble actually trying to figure out how to play this thing. Once you actually get access to it, there's clearly a lot of information that we have about the instruments that were used and stylistic concerns, and then we have extra added interest in pronunciation of words as well. So you don't get something that sounds terribly English or terribly Australian or terribly American with this stuff. And it all just gets added into this melting pot, which is historical performance.
Janelle, how does this fit into the Oregon Bach Festival's mission from your perspective?
Well, having Simon here, for example, the lute is such an important part of the Berwick Academy in historically informed performance. And having that color and texture for the students to work with, and in addition, having that available to us as part of our professional series as well, it's just a real treat. And clearly having Charles here as our evangelist is such a remarkable prize, I would say. Such a fantastic interpreter of that role.
One of the things about the evangelist role to me that's interesting is that since it's taken from biblical verses that were not meant to be sung initially, it has to present some vocal challenges. Is that correct?
It does indeed. What Bach does, to set it in a slightly broader context, he uses a technique called recitative, which effectively is a form of heightened speech. And so it's quite a difficult form of heightened speech in Bach's hands, but he uses the music to emphasize the meaning of the words. Sometimes it's pictorial. He might pick out a particular thing and make it high or more anguished. But also the harmonies that he sets underneath emphasize the elements of the biblical story. So it's the evangelist working together with the continuo team. That's an essential combination, and very good that we have such fine people to do that with.
Well, we are blessed to have you doing that here and blessed to have Simon Martin Ellis with you in the studios. I'm Eric Allen with Janelle McCoy here in the Selco Performance Hall of KLCC. Shall we dive into another set of music?
Yes. Shall I briefly explain what we've got?
Yes.
Simon is going to play another lute piece. This is Anthony Hoban's Fairy Round. And then we've got 5 songs. We've got Dowland's Come Away, Come Sweet Love. Now, Dowland was known to be, he was a fantastic musician, but he was rather a miserable person, unfortunately. he really wasn't very happy. I think he was probably a bit, you know, you find types like this, terribly talented, but not easy people. I think he was one of those. But this is one of his rare serene songs, Come Away, Come Sweet Love. Then John Daniel, now this is a brothers combo. His song, Time, Cruel Time, is set in Samuel Daniel's lyrics. And it's talking about this rather cruel but beautiful girl who's not subject to time's decay. Then we have Thomas Morley's I Saw My Lady Weeping. And the idea there is that even when she's weeping, his love is more beautiful than anybody else would be in their mirth. And then we have this wonderfully obscure character, William Corkin. Now, these next two songs are a pair. One of the sets of words is definitely John Donne, the second one, and the first one is ascribed to him. So we have Corkin's Tis True Tis Day. This is kind of lovers parting at dawn and saying, please don't go. And then the Alfonso Ferrabosco song, So So Leave Off This Last Lamenting Kiss, is the other one of the lovers saying, we have to go, you bid me go too. And then we'll talk a bit more. Now I just need to turn back my pad to where we get to. Yep, okay.
Sweet love, the golden morning breaks, the earth and the air of love and pleasure speaks. Teach thine arms to embrace, and sweet rosy lips to kiss, and mix our souls in mutual. Eyes were made for beauty's grace, viewing, rewing love's long pains, procured by beauty's rude disdain. Come away, come sweet love, The golden morning wastes, while the sun from his sphere his fiery arrows casts, making our shadows fly, playing, staying in the grove to enter him the stealth of love. Thither, sweet love, let us sigh, flying, dying in desire, winged with sweet hopes and heavenly fire. Come away, come, sweet love, do not in vain adorn beauty's grace that should rise like to the naked moon. Lilies on the riverside and fair Cyprian flowers new blown desire no beauties but their own. Ornament is nurse of pride, pleasure, measure, love's delight. Haste then, sweet love, our wish and flight. Time cruel, time, canst thou subdue that brow that conquers all but thee and thee to stays, as if she were, as if she were exempt from scythe or bow, from love and years unsubject to
thank you.
He that that hath business and makes love, but though wrong as if a married man should woo, such wrong as if a married man should woo, such wrong as if a married man should woo. So leave off this last lamenting kiss, which soaks two souls and vapors both away. Turn thou ghost that way, and let me turn this, and let ourselves be night our happy day. We ask none leave to love, nor will we owe any so cheap a death as saying go. We ask none leave, nor will we owe any so cheap a death as say go. Go, go, and if that word hath not quite killed thee, is me with death by bidding me. If it have leapt, my word were on me, and a just office on a murderer. Except it be too late to kill me so, being double.
The exquisite talents of Simon Martin Ellis and Charles Daniels here in the KLCC Selco Performance Hall, part of a special broadcast celebrating the opening of the 2017 Oregon Bach Festival, which runs this year from June 29th through July 15th. You're listening to KLCC, celebrating 50 years of informing and inspiring listeners here on KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFO Florence 89.1, and at 88.1 KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, and KLBR Bend. Also streaming online at klcc.org. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. I'm Eric Allen here with my co-host Janelle McCoy of the Oregon Bach Festival, Executive Director. And Janelle, one of the other changes that's upcoming for the Bach Festival is the dedication of a new building, the Berwick Building. So where does that stand and how will that change the festival?
Yes, it's a Berwick Hall, and it's right on 18th Avenue on the corner of campus, right beside the School of Music. And we're excited to be back on that part of campus. It's where we got our start, right within the School of Music. So it feels like a homecoming of sorts. This season, we will be opening the festival with an opening celebration, as we have in the past, and because we're on campus this year, part of that opening celebration will be at Berwick Hall, our new building. So you'll see a number of vendors there, musicians, you'll hear music in the rehearsal room, and we're really excited. We'll be having a grand opening for Berwick Hall in October, probably the first weekend of October. And I think it's significant to have, our first permanent home on campus, because it also gives us this amazing storefront opportunity right on 18th Avenue, which you all know is heavily traversed, and it gives us the opportunity to do programming throughout the year and really invite the community to be a part of the Bach Festival throughout the whole year, not just a few weeks out of the summer. So we're looking forward to inviting others to use the space as well as using the space to highlight the upcoming festival.
Acoustically, what kind of sound was that hall designed for?
Yes, with acoustics in mind, actually. The rehearsal room was built specifically for Berwick Academy, which is our pre-professional, historically informed performance academy. The floors are made of white oak. There's two walls that also are made of white oak that have a curvature to help, adjust the acoustics. We also have acoustical banners inside the room so that they can deploy to varying lengths to adjust the acoustics to the appropriate ensemble.
Charles and Simon, how does the acoustics of the hall affect what you bring as musicians to pieces like this? Simon, you're by the microphone, so I'm afraid you're stuck with this one.
I'm stuck with this one. I have to say that it tends to affect me a little bit less than it does other instruments and singers in particular, because lutes have one sound, which is pang. and you can sometimes work with an acoustic like that, with that sound, to actually create certain effects, but the range is relatively limited. That said, you obviously play differently in different acoustics. If it's a very what I call a wet acoustic, I tend to actually have to play quite a bit louder to try and work through all of the sustaining instruments that are working around me.
So it's more like the Australian bar scene.
You could say that. But when you're playing by yourself, it's obviously it's a very different situation. So the more acoustic that you have, a wet acoustic with a long resonance, the more relaxed you can be about finishing notes, for instance. The drier it is, the more you have to pay attention to those sorts of things, and that can be a blessing and a curse at the same time.
How does all of these things apply to you, Charles, when singing the Evangelist in some place like Bell Hall?
Well, the acoustics there are good. What you have, the wetter a building is, the harder you have to work to get text to the back. But the drier it is, the more hard you have to work to make sure that there aren't too many dropouts in the sound. And somewhere in between those two extremes is a happy medium. and I think that's what we're going to be working with.
Well, we can perhaps not offer the acoustics of Bell Hall here in this studio tonight, but we appreciate you taking on the room and being here with us tonight anyway. So will you introduce the next set of music?
Yes, the next set. Simon starts off. Two lute pieces, Fantasy by Dowland and a Pavan by Holborn. Then we have three songs. The first one by John Daniel, it's another one person answering another. This is the mythical encounter of Phoebus and Daphne. He chased her and she turns into a tree in order to escape him. And so he says, that's what happened, and all that's left of her is this winter-beaten tree. And she says to him, well, I got away and I kept my honour. So that's the first song. Then we have Dowland, a very beautiful song, but I'm afraid he's back in miserable mode again. All You Whom Love of Fortune. And then the final song in this thing is a much more upbeat song. Campions, I care not for these ladies, but instead the ladies are the ones who are kind of have got to be bought expensive things. Well, but he likes amaryllis with milk and honey fed, and they kind of just have a habit.
Daphne fled from Phoebus' hot pursuit, careless of passion, senseless of remorse. Whilst he complained his griefs, she rested mute. He begged her stay, she still kept on. What she had for this you see. She rests transformed, a winter-beaten tree. She rests transformed, she rests transformed, she rests transformed, a winter-beaten tree. Chaste Daphne fled from Phoebus' hot pursuit, knowing men's past idle and off course. And though he plained, 'twas fate she should stay mute, and honour would she should keep on her course, for which fair deed her glory still we see. She rests still green, and so I wish to be. She rests still green, she rests still green, she rests still green, and so I wish to be. Lend ears and tears to me. sorrows like the dying swan. Lend ears and tears on me, most hapless man that sings my sorrows, that sings my sorrows like the dying swan. Care that consumes the heart with inward pain, presents sad care in outward view, both tyrant like and force me to complain, but still in vain, for none my plan. Cries alone I spend my woe wants comfort, my woe wants comfort, and my sorrow end. Tears sighs and ceaseless cries alone I spend, my woe wants comfort, my woe wants comfort, and my sorrow
I care not for these ladies that must be wooed and prayed. Give me, kind Amaryllis, the wanton country maid. Nature art disdaineth, her beauty is her own. Her when we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come, her comfort is, she never will say no. Her when we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come, her comfort is, she never will say no. If I love Amaryllis, she gives me fruit and flowers. But if we love these ladies, we must give gold and showers. Give them gold that sell love, give me the nut brown lass. Who when we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come where comfort is, she never will say no. When we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come where comfort is, she never will say no. These ladies must have pillows and beds by strangers wrought. Give me a bower of willows, of moss and leaves unbought, and fresh amaryllis with milk and honey fed. When we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come where comfort is, she never will say no. Oh, when we court and kiss, she cries, forsooth, let go. But when we come where comfort is, she never will say no.
Love hasn't changed that much in the last 500 years. Charles Daniels, Simon Martin Ellis, live in the Selco Performance Hall of the KLCC Studios, celebrating the opening of the 2017 Oregon Bach Festival. I'm Eric Allen with Janelle McCoy from the Bach Festival as my co-host. And Janelle, it has been a time of great evolution for the festival in the last few years, with the transition to Matthew Halls as artistic director, you coming on board as executive director, a new building, a different academic focus. What is it going to be that keeps the Bach Festival thriving through change in the upcoming years?
Well, we have a devoted community behind us. I mean, this whole festival, we wouldn't be here today without our community. This festival grew and flourished because people in Eugene and the region loved this, you know, this festival. And I know that there's still passion that is a part of this festival. And we have so many devoted fans and devoted audiences. And we really are looking forward to, you know, highlighting a lot of the education opportunities that we have at the festival. You'll see that this year, education, of course, has always been very important, but it's really much more prominent. This year, we've moved our Discovery Series into the evening so that more people could access this music. We're trying to break down barriers to classical music through a variety of programming. And I think that, you know, this educational programming that we offer gives you a behind-the-scenes look in how we put together these concerts and the next generation of classical musicians.
Well, thank you so much for all that you brought to it, and thank you, Simon and Charles, for what you bring to it as well. Shall we close with just a little bit more music?
Just a bit more. Two more songs. And just before we start, in case anybody has been hopelessly confused by what's going on with the lyrics of all these songs, I'm singing in something approaching Shakespearean English, so it sounds very different from either modern American English or modern English English. The one thing you will note is that all the vowel sounds still exist somewhere in England, and probably somewhere here in the States also. So these two songs, one of Dowland's iconically beautiful ones, Weep You No More, Sad Fountains, and then something nice and cheerful to finish with, Philip Rossiter's When Laura Smiles.
Weep you no more, sad fountains, what need you flow so fast? Look how the snowy mountains heaven soon doth gently waste, but my soul's end. Oh, lie sleeping, while she lies sleeping softly, softly, no, softly lies sleeping. Rest you then, rest sad eyes, melt not in weeping. While she lies sleeping, while she lies sleeping, softly, softly, no, softly. When Laura smiles, her sight revives both night and day. The earth and heaven views with delight her wanton play, and her speech with ever-flowing music doth repair the cruel wounds of sorrow and wounded despair. And her speech with ever-flowing music doth repair the cruel wounds of sorrow and wounded despair. The dentist writes that still remain in fleeting air, affect for past, try to untwine her tressed hair. And the birds think, sweet Aurora, morning's queen, doth shine from her bright sphere. When Laura shows her looks divine, and the birds think, sweet Aurora, morning's queen, doth shine from her bright sphere. When Laura shows her looks divine, Diana's eyes are not adorned with greater power than Laura's when she lists a while for sport to lure. But when she her eyes encloses, blindness doth appear the cheapest grace of beauty, sweetly seated there. But when she her eyes encloses, blindness doth appear the chiefest grace of beauty, sweetly seated there. Love hath no fire, but what he steals from her bright eyes. Time hath no power, but what in her pleasure lies. For she with her divine beauties all the world subdues, and fills with heavenly spirits my humble muse. For she with her divine beauties all the world subdues, and fills with heavenly spirits my humble.
Tenor Charles Daniels, lutenist Simon Martin Ellis, two of the features in this year's Oregon Bach Festival. Charles Daniels will be featured as the evangelist in St. Matthew Passion on June 29th and 30th, and in the Rediscovery Series Part 1, St. John Passion on July 5th, and give the Hinkle Distinguished Lecture on July 3rd. Simon Martin Ellis will bring his accomplished instrumental skills throughout the festival as well. I'm Eric Allen. Thank you to everybody in the studio audience here. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Simon.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
And thank you, Janelle, as well.
Thank you.
Thank you also to Denny Kahn on sound tonight, Don Hine on additional production, Michael Anderson, Josh Gren, Gretchen Farrar, and others from the Oregon Bach Festival. Thank you, everyone in the studio audience, for supporting KLCC and the Oregon Bach Festival. This does complete this year's edition of our preview of the Oregon Bach Festival. Sinecraft is next with the Heartwood Hotel.